There is a children's song that some of you are familiar with. I became eminently familiar with it beginning 15, 20 years ago or so. It speaks of being careful with your eyes, what they see, of being careful with your tongues, what it says, with your feet, where they go, with your heart, who it trusts, with your mind, what you think. There's one part that I left out. Who knows what part that is? Anybody know? It has to do with your ears. It says, be careful, little ears, what you hear. So I want you to open your Bible this morning to Mark chapter 4. And read along with me as I read verses 21 through 24. And we're listening closely to what our Lord would say about our hearing. Verse 21 says, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then in verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we come to your word this morning, and we profess a desire to hear it, understanding here that we must have an ear to hear it. So we ask that you would give that to us now for the glory of your own Son and for our good. Give us an ear to hear what you would say to your church. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So the subject is hearing. Hearing is vital to the Christian life. J.C. Ryle has written, hearing the truth is the principal avenue through which grace is conveyed to the soul of man. Hearing is the principal means through which grace is conveyed to the soul of man. How many of us are familiar with Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? Paul wrote there, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So both the initial conveying of grace in conversion and then the ongoing conveying of grace, which process we know to be sanctification, hearing proves to be of utmost importance. We read in these few verses about the importance of having an ear to hear. Think of how many times in the Gospels and even in those seven letters to the churches that begin John's revelation of Jesus Christ, how often Jesus repeats these words. These are some of the most often repeated words of Christ in all the Bible. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The emphasis here is on hearing over the refusal to hear. We're not talking here about the physical ability or the physical sense of hearing. Even people who are completely deaf in that sphere can hear the Word of God, understand it, trust it through the means of reading or testimony or some other means. So the hearing that is in view here is the hearing of the inner or the spiritual ear that Christ must open, that he must dig out so that we can hear what he would have to say. So I want to do two things with these verses this morning, verses 21 through 24, or excuse me, 25. Really, my emphasis is on the 24th verse, but we'll look at the before and after. The two things that I want to do is first set these words in their original context. That's what we talk about almost every week, right? Because the best way to understand the Scriptures is to understand the context in which they were written. So that's my first hope and goal to establish so that we can glean from them in that setting. The second is more along the lines of application. I would like each one of us to consider our own degree of carefulness in what we take in through the ear gate. How careful are you concerning that which you hear, especially in the spiritual realm? So while I really want to jump to the application of these things, I'm going to discipline myself first to work through the particulars of where we find these words contained here in the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Luke. There is a parallel in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the only difference being in Mark, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Take heed what you hear." In Luke, he is recorded as saying, "Take heed how you hear." I want to address both of those and the difference in them. Both of these, interestingly, Mark and Luke, place these words of Christ at the conclusion or the summary of the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is one of the preeminent parables, the most prominent of the parables, perhaps in all of the parables that Jesus would give us. So it's significant then that we find these words recorded by both Mark and Luke at the conclusion and by way of applying what Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. Both of these come in this conclusion or application and immediately follow what Jesus would have to say about a lamp and not hiding it under a bed, not hiding it under a basket, but setting it on a lampstand. So there's great familiarity both with Mark and Luke. These words appear to be spoken to the 12. If you go back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 10, you'll read, "But when he was alone," when Jesus was alone, "those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them," so it seems to be this more closely related inner band of disciples and a few on the periphery that are hearing these words of Jesus, in contrast to the first verse of chapter 4 where Jesus is speaking to a great multitude. Seems to be these are the ones that Jesus has given an ear to hear. And he's making particular application of the parable of the sower to them. The parable of the soils teaches us many things. Think how often when we are considering certain doctrines that we run back to the parable of the soils for biblical support, more biblical light. The parable of the soils, or the sower, whichever way you'd prefer to refer to it, is an important part of what Jesus taught. It seems to be that at the conclusion of the parable of the soils, Jesus is teaching through the use of the lamp on a lampstand, and nothing hidden will not eventually be revealed. And these words, "Take heed what you hear," that Jesus is emphasizing the fact that those who really are given the ability of him to hear bear fruit. He's speaking of the necessity of fruit bearing. One of the ways in our day, and this is nothing really new, one of the ways that the gospel is distorted in our day is by teaching that there are those that can give credence to the things that they hear and then never give any evidence of it. In my estimation, that's a false gospel. It's a perversion of the truth. What we read of in Scripture are those that are given an ear to hear by Christ, they are necessarily changed. We call that conversion. It's the result of being regenerated or given a new heart. Forever different. A new heart has a new song to sing. It has new appetites to pursue. And so it seems to be Jesus, in emphasizing that truth, that central truth and teaching of Scripture, that there is a necessity of fruit bearing in the life of a Christian to some degree or another. Notice he concludes in verse 20 by saying, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. There are degrees of fruit bearing in life. Not everyone is a Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon represents, I suppose, that one that bore fruit 100-fold, and there are many throughout the history of the kingdom of God and in the church who are like him. That's not to discredit those who bear 30-fold or some 60. The important point to make note of here is that fruit bearing to some degree or another is the expectation of Christ in response and evidence that the gospel has made inroads in your life. So don't listen to, take heed what you hear. Don't listen to those that would tell you you need not give evidence of conversion in your life. There's no biblical support. There's no biblical grounds to make such a statement. I want you to see the sobering nature of the words in verse 24. After Jesus tells us about the lamp, I think the lamp here is a picture or a reflection of what a fruitful life looks like. We bear fruit in the Christian life, not so much for ourselves, but for those around us. We are to reflect the glory of Christ to the benefit of those around us. Again, I like what J.C. Ryle says here. He says, "Religious light is not given to a man for himself alone, but for the benefit of others." So if Christ has shown his light in your heart and you hide it away, then this word about the lamp not being placed under a basket or under a bed is especially for you. We are to give evidence, yes, and greatly so, of the light that we have been given in Christ. But that's not principally our concern this morning. Our concern lies in the 24th verse, when Jesus said to them, "Take heed what you hear." Some of your translations translate the first couple of words there as "be careful." Pay attention. Take care how you hear. These are words that are used in the face of danger. These are words that are used to awaken and make alert one who is unaware of impending harm. It could be literally translated, though it would make it a little more difficult to understand and to interpret. It could be literally translated, "See what you hear." Perhaps we could add a word there, "See to what you hear." Or as some take it, "Consider what you hear." And again, Luke chapter 8, verse 18, the word is, "Take heed, pay attention, take care, be careful, consider how you hear." And then immediately there is a principle attached to this warning. And we're going to come back to this warning and try to make some applications of it later. But first, I want you to see the principle that is attached to it. the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. The flagship passage of sowing and reaping we know to be Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, where we're told by Paul, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Here, that same principle is restated in these words: "With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." What you sow in regard to hearing spiritual things is what you will reap. What you sow in regard to spiritual things, the degree, the quality, the quantity of what you sow is going to dictate and correspond to what you reap. I'll say it another way. If our intake of Scripture or hearing the Word of God is minuscule, then we will reap a minuscule reward. It's interesting to me, and I know to you when you meditate upon this, how many people you talk with perpetually live with the knowledge that they could and should know more of Bible doctrine, biblical principle, more of the history and the narratives of Bible facts, more concerning Christ, more concerning what we would call the high doctrines of salvation, more concerning sin, the atonement, election, grace, perseverance, how Christ will culminate all things, etc., etc., etc. How many perpetually live day after day, year after year, knowing full well that they could and should know more, but do nothing substantial about it. Keep measuring with a teaspoon, and you will reap a teaspoon's reward. On the other hand, if you measure with a bucket, you will reap a bucket's reward. In this regard of hearing and growing in spiritual things, in this regard of bearing fruit, remember, this is a conclusion to the parable of the soils. In this regard of bearing fruit, there is a direct correlation between what we involve ourselves in and the discipline with what we hear and the measure of reaping the benefit of it. Some of you may be in this category of full well knowing. By now, having been a professing Christian for X amount of years, I should be more capable of having a conversation about the atonement of Jesus Christ, about the sinfulness of sin, even about these mysterious doctrines of election and predestination and grace in general and the perseverance of the saints, and even to some degree that somewhat dreaded word of eschatology, how things are going to play out in the end. While we confess we should and could, we habitually and perpetually just keep measuring out spiritual things with a spoon and expecting a great reward, expecting to receive something that we are not disciplining ourselves to find. Now, let me bring some balance to this and not discredit at all the mysterious working of the Lord. We're talking about biblical principle, things that we can build our lives around. But certainly there is that mysterious aspect of the working of the Lord where sometimes, unbeknownst to you and because of no effort of your own, the Lord will unload a dump truck of truth and reality in your life. Now, granted, those times will be few and far between. Some of you may have experienced things like that. But generally speaking, and speaking along the lines of biblical principle, we will reap what we sow in regards to Bible doctrine, Bible knowledge, That's why it is imperative why Jesus repeats over and over this refrain, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear," and this time he adds to it, "Take heed what you hear." He attaches a promise to it. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. To those who discipline themselves in being careful and paying attention to what they hear and have an increasing appetite for it, the Lord is going to give you more understanding, more light, and then necessarily so, you are not to take that light and hide it, but to live before men unto the glory of God, bearing witness to that light. So while there is a promise given, again, there is another warning. And that warning is found at the end of verse 25. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Those of you who have studied a foreign language probably have experienced this. Really, those that have any acquired skill at all, we know if it's not habitually practice, then it is eventually lost altogether. Trying to learn a new thing, if you don't stick with it, and day after day remind yourselves of what you've learned and then build upon what you've learned, if you let days or weeks or months or years go by, then where are you? You're right back where you started. Seems to be what Jesus is expressing here. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. So let me go back to the question that I began with. How careful are you in the realm of spiritual things? How careful are you of what you hear? Of what you allow to gain entrance? We often say to one another, we often remind our children, those things once seen can never be unseen. The same thing applies to those things once heard, remain there, and then you have to deal with them. So it's the same thought, the same principle. And we're reminded here that the primary means in the Scriptures of hearing the Word of God, not just with an external ear, but with the internal ear of the Spirit, is the preaching of the Word of God. However out of vogue preaching may seem, it will always remain as the preeminent means of grace given by God to be employed both by the preacher and the hearer. It is the foolishness of preaching, not the preaching of foolishness, that saves. The foolishness of preaching, I think what Paul is getting at there is involving ourselves in exactly what we're doing this morning. Someone standing, reading the Scriptures, trying to give the sense of it. That's, I think, a biblical definition of what preaching is. You can find it in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. And then there are those that are listening and hearing. It seems to be utter foolishness. In the grand economy and the plan of God, it seems to be that there has to be a better way to make biblical doctrine and knowledge known than this foolish attempt of speaking and hearing. But everywhere in the Scriptures we turn, even Paul, especially Paul, after having lived a long, fruitful life of ministry, what does he tell his young protege, Timothy? Does he say, "Timothy, you know, in all of this and all of my learning and all of my travels and all of my experience, I've come to know and believe that preaching is folly"? Is that what he tells him? He tells him quite the contrary, doesn't he? He says, "Preach the word." He does so because this is God's prescribed manner and preeminent way in which He makes Himself known in the public meeting of the saints. So we live in an interesting day. We live in a day of great technology. Most of us carry around in our pockets technology that a decade or so ago, especially a couple of decades ago, would have been unbelievable. That is a great blessing and at the same time a great curse. Technology has not superseded this biblical principle of the foolishness of preaching. It remains as God's preeminent means of grace, extending the truth. It is through the means of preaching, that verse that we quoted at the beginning, Romans 10, verse 17, it is through that means of preaching and hearing the gospel that an ear is opened. If anything, I think we could say that technology has hindered, not helped. Not because there is not a plethora of worthy things to listen to. And here is where we have to be careful. I'm thankful that at any point in time during the day, I can go to something like sermon audio or many other different things and find something preached by a faithful brother bearing witness to the Scriptures, and it feeds my soul. For a preacher, that's a great blessing. I like to be preached to just as many of you do. Technology is a great help in that way. But I would say that it is greatly hindered because there is a vast, vast, innumerable amount of unworthy, unbiblical, ungodly things vying for our attention at the same time. And I'm still referring to things here in the spiritual realm. I'm not talking about those absolutely, you know, demonic, deplorable, defiled things that are available. I'm talking about this use of technology in a supposed helpful way. I don't know of any other way to say it, but just to say, not all preaching is good preaching. Because not all preaching is scriptural. Be a discerning hearer. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the vast majority, we'll start first in the bookstores. There are such things still as Christian bookstores, right? The vast majority of things that you'll find on the shelves of most Christian bookstores are not worthy of your time. They are of no value and of no profit to you. The same thing would apply in large place to what we would find in the, quote, spiritual realm available to us at our very fingertips in this day of technology. The vast majority of it is harmful and not helpful. That's why Jesus would say, take heed, be careful, pay attention to what you hear. Because something once heard is going to remain with you for some time. We have to realize that there is a battle taking place for our minds. You know, we dealt with recently that whole ending of Ephesians chapter 6, where we're taught that the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Our struggle lies in the unseen, yet very real world, the spiritual realm. And within that unseen, yet very real spiritual realm, there is a daily war being fought for your heart and your mind. What you allow yourself not just to hear, but what you allow yourself to hear and see greatly affects your ability to wage the good warfare and emerge the victor for that day over that which is vying for your heart and your mind. Is it any wonder then why we're given such weighty words here by Christ to take heed what you hear With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Just speaking very plainly, be very careful, be discerning as to whom you listen to, who you read. You may be like me. Someone's always trying to hand me a book. And I'm not, if any of you have tried to hand me a book, thank you. I'm not speaking against that. But I'm talking about out there. When I'm working, doing work for someone, people very often will bring me a book. Say, hey, I just read this. It's been great. It's been helpful. And I'll look at the book. I'll know most of the time immediately who it is, what it's about. And sometimes I just have to, as graciously as I can, decline and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to read that. I'm not trying in any way to be mean-spirited, but what I'm trying to say is just be discerning. Be discerning. Take heed what you hear. Take heed, applying this a different way, to what you read, to what you take in. Not everything that is couched in terms of Bible doctrine and spirituality is real Bible doctrine. Realizing that there is a battle for your mind and your heart. Realizing that the adversary will stop at no length to pervert or distort. So here's what I would encourage you to do. Take an inventory right now today of things that you're reading, you're listening to, and then ask yourself, am I being as careful as I ought to be? And then let's broaden the application of this outside of the spiritual realm. If what I'm saying is true, and Lord willing, you will accept it as being true, that there is a battle going on for your mind and your heart, that being the case, anything that you hear is fuel for that fire. Young people, if you're listening to music that is ungodly, that is glorifying sin in any way, making it seem like it's no big deal, my appeal to you is stop. Take heed. Be careful what you hear. You may think, well, it's no big deal. Let me tell you, in the long term, it's a big deal. Let me give you just a little testimony. There are certain songs or music that I haven't heard in probably 30 years. But let me get one little tune of it in a grocery store or somewhere like that, all of it immediately comes back. And then I have to intentionally, purposefully struggle and fight against those things that are just immediately brought to the table of this battle for my heart and my mind. So it is a big deal. It is a big deal to take heed what you hear. Nowhere as Christians are we given license to glory along with the world in the exaltation of sin in any way, shape, or form. In fact, we are given great direction in Scripture as to what types of things that we should give our hearts and minds, our eyes and our ears to, so that we can live the fruitful life of some 30, some 60, or 100. Quite frankly, the reason that some don't make it past the 30 to the 60 or to the 100 is because their lives are so inundated with those things that they continually give themselves to, that they have to continually fight against, takes up their time, their spiritual energy, by willfully, habitually submitting themselves to things that should quickly be recognized as spiritually unwholesome or unhealthy. The verses that I'm referring to, obviously Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and following. Would you turn there with me and just read a few verses? Paul says, "Brethren, whatever things are true." So let's just stop there before we go on. Making application of Jesus' words of taking heed to what you hear, being careful, paying attention, seeing to that which you hear, the first test that it must pass to be God-honoring and glorifying and profitable for you is that it be true. Moving on from there, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's interesting what the word meditate here, the root meaning of the word, is where we get our word logic. Some of your translations use the word dwell. It's referring to a discipline of the mind. And a discipline of the mind necessarily reaches out into those things which we both see and hear and expose ourselves to. These are the types of things that Christians dwell on. These are the type of things that are healthy. You realize that some of the stuff we submit ourselves to is just, and we do so out of an escapist mentality. We say things like, "I just need to escape from the moment. I need to disengage. I need to unplug." You realize in the Christian life, it's not an option. In large measure, those are words and sayings we have adopted that are a reflection of worldly thinking. The antithesis to that is to dwell on the things here mentioned by Paul, those things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in him, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Your spiritual life and health depends on what you hear. So take heed. There's one other point of application to make here that I haven't yet gotten into. You need to be careful as to what you hear from yourself. You know, like I do, that you talk to yourself, don't you? And I'm not talking about in a weird sort of way, you know, verbally out loud, carrying on a conversation. Some of you might do that. That's your thing. That's fine. I'm talking about inwardly, where you begin to reason within your own mind, usually in the form of justifying or excusing a certain action or activity, or sowing the seeds of doubt, either of your own conversion or the fact, a lot of times, of the church as a whole. I heard this from an older saint years ago. You need to talk to yourself much more than you listen to yourself. And what we talk to ourselves here in that context is we must be talking to ourselves the truth. Not allowing the justifying, excusatory thoughts that come into our minds to bear any weight at all. This is where the weight of this word, meditate or dwell, comes in. You know this to be true from practice, most likely. If you think wrongly on a certain subject long enough, and you allow yourself to think wrongly on that subject, you don't temper it through the truth of the Scripture, you don't bring balance, or you don't outrightly destroy those wrong thoughts, then what happens? They take root in your heart and in your life, and then it's those things that begin to bear fruit in your life. You know, Paul speaks about, the Scripture speaks about a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. Not to allow it to, you know, to sink down in and take root so that you begin to bear the fruit of bitterness. Usually the root of bitterness begins by not taking heed to what you hear from yourself. You'll begin to convince yourself that things that are actually true and real are not true and real. That your husband really doesn't love you, or your wife really doesn't love you. Or that your parents really don't love you or have your best interest at heart. You listen to yourself along those lines long enough, then you'll begin to believe it. So take heed what you hear. That's why our minds and this battle for our minds rises to the surface in the Scriptures, probably most prominently in those verses that we know well from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses of that chapter. The second verse especially, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Interesting, isn't it, that Paul doesn't say here, be transformed by your practice. Be transformed by the things that you do. Paul's not saying here, look differently, because he goes beyond that. He goes to the real source of that, and he tells us what we need to know. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once the mind and heart is renewed, then the actions follow. What you give yourselves to follows once your mind is renewed. So make no mistake, right now as you sit here, there is a war being waged, the flesh lusting against the Spirit against the flesh. There is a war being waged for the affection of your heart and for your mind. So we bring these words of Christ to that. Take heed, be careful, pay attention, consider what you hear. And if what you are allowing yourself to hear and subjecting yourself to is not profiting you in the battle, then do away with it. Do away with it. For the good of your own soul and to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would help us in this regard of carefulness. Carefulness of what we hear, who we hear, and the weight that we attribute to it. Father, help us to expose ourselves to those very things that Paul mentioned that we read, those good and noble, just, praiseworthy, those things that will profit us in this realm of spiritual warfare, the battle for our hearts and minds. We're thankful for the scriptures that you have given us, the preeminent weapon, the sword that you have given us as your people to wage a good warfare. Lord, help us increasingly to hear it. We're thankful for the many avenues you have given us for the faithful preaching and teaching of your word. Help us to seek those things out at the expense of the lesser. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.